You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. This is episode 90. It is March 18th, the day after, I'm guessing, the lamest St. Patrick's Day of all time. I'm just guessing. I have been sober for 7.5 years, so I'm, you know, I wouldn't personally know, but just a guess. Hope you're enjoying the great indoors, as I am. Man, I know. It's something. I hope you're staying sober. If you're wanting to be sober, if you're not wanting to be sober, I hope you're staying sane, for God's sakes. I know it's, there's a whole lot. There's a whole lot of shit. And I don't have to tell you what you already know. And point, be Captain Obvious about everything. It's interesting. My mother, who's in her 70s, saying, I've never experienced anything like this in my whole life. And she lived through the 60s as a white person. So, you know, 60s were slightly different. But for her. But anyway, yeah. So I don't know what my workplace, I know a lot of here in Austin, Texas, they just brought the hammer down yesterday for closing bars and all restaurants turned to takeout, delivery, curbside service, those who are going to do it. And I technically go into work tomorrow, so it's going to be interesting to find out where I stand. My job has 3 locations, so I don't know what they're planning on doing. I'm gonna basically go into work tomorrow and feign ignorance. That's what I think I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna walk in. Hey, what's going on? Hey, why is everybody is something amiss? That's my game plan. To find out, you know, I'm assuming, unless they come up with some other stuff, because I can do some other stuff. Maybe they've, you know, because they want to take care of us, they said, before anything even happened. So I'm, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be interesting to find out what they've got in store for me, or if they're just like, no, go home. And then I can file for unemployment or whatever else. You know, the temporary unemployment, because that's the deal. Is I've been washing dishes for 9 years now, and I've stuck with it because it, you know, there's a zen about it that I've talked about before, and just that it's I enjoy it more than being in a cubicle. But there was one little thing about it that I was honestly being a little cocky about, which is that the job security, because of how much people don't want to wash dishes, there's always a restaurant, there's always going to be a place that, no, please do this shit for us. So, like, I knew that I could, you know, I could get a job anytime I wanted, but that's before, you know, but that... except for, that's in almost every case, there's a dishwashing job available, except in, apparently, a pandemic where everything is delivery or takeout, where there are no dishes. That's the only time that it's like, oh, and now. Like, this is the only scenario that I can think of that my job security is has dropped, so it's going to be something, and I'm sure I'll report about that next week when I find out tomorrow. But that's a big change for me. That's a yeah. the uncertainty is definitely just kind of weighs on you, just not knowing what's going to happen. And that's, you know, I don't like, as a control freak, you know, I don't like change. And so it's new, just like everyone. We're experiencing something new, and it's not great. It's new, I guess. I'll tell you one thing that's not great. Let's go superficial here. I'm already tired of people live streaming from their home office, living room, or bedroom. Already tired of it. Doesn't matter who it is. You know, especially talk show hosts. Talk show hosts are not doing well in their home office without an audience. They're just kind of like, hey, you know me, I'm Jimmy Fallon. Like, it's not good. It's really cutting down to, you know, there's musicians that are live streaming from their residence, and you can really tell who's talented and who's, you know, it's who needs an audience and lights and makeup just in general. And I'm already over it. If I see basically a live streaming from someone's living room, it better be brief. Dana Gould is doing something right now called the Pandemic Minute, where he just does a quick bit, and it's under a minute, and that's fucking, that rules. I realize I can take looking at you in your dining room, at the kitchen table or whatever. I can take looking at that for about a minute. That seems fine, but anything longer than that, I can't. I'm not. I'm telling you, I think that people, we're going to have to go back. Either everybody, if you're thinking about, I'm going to live stream, I bet my friends online, my Facebook friends and my followers would like to know what's going on. I don't know if they want to just stare at you talking. Like, you should, if you don't have a podcast, you should just do one. Or you should do more episodes. Because and it seems like you think, it's a weird concept to think about that audio only is better than watching somebody sit in their living room. It's, you know, because at least you can do something else and you can just focus on their voice. That's fine. But just, I can't stare at you in your plain clothes. I'm like, did you put your good shirt on for the camera? I don't know if you did. That's what I think people, I think we should bring blogs back, honestly. I'd love to, you know, I would much rather read somebody I'm following, their thoughts. I would rather them write it out and take the time. I would rather read it than watch them just sit there and stare into the their iPhone camera or whatever else they're using. It's, I know that's a, you know, do you want to go back 7 years? Maybe. You know, but that's what I think. I think you should do a blog or a podcast. I don't think, I don't want to stare at you. So, you know, huh? Look at this lamp. You know, look at my layout. Look how my living room's doing. I don't want to, you know, I'm tired of seeing. It's just not interesting to me to see celebrities wearing glasses and no makeup. You know, it's like, hey, it's Trevor Noah from his living room. It's not gonna work. And oh man, and having them do, it's like watching Last Week Tonight. I watched last Sunday, and they did it. They did their piece, but they, like, you know, they're so used to doing their writing, the normal writing, that there was actually pauses for laughter, but no audience. And I'm like, we're gonna have to do some. You're gonna have to change how you edit. And how you write, like your writers are gonna have to do it. You're gonna have to follow suit with people who have been doing YouTube videos For people with a lack of attention span, you're going to have to do those quick edits. You're going to have to just bam, 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 because that's the way people are. And it's really telling when they're just, you know, people have been used to their formula for TV. All of a sudden, like, oh, we've got no backup. We've got no audience. What are we going to do? Oh, suddenly we're going to piece together stuff from my breakfast nook. You're going to have to come up with something else. Because I'm not going to keep going to YouTube to watch people from the nook. I'm not going to do it. Can't. All right. So one quick thing I do want to say is we're going to be since we're indefinitely going to be inside. Social distancing, whatever, self-quarantine, whatever, I don't know, the lockdown. There's going to be different names and different policies and different stuff's going to be coming down down the line. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? You're going to find yourself on social media even more. I'm guessing. We're already on our phones and on our devices at an unhealthy rate. But now I see that happening. I see there being more posting. And I wanted to just give one suggestion before moving forward. If you're going to post things on Facebook or Instagram, when you're being clever, there is no need ever to post the crying laughing emoji, especially like multiple times, like in different styles after you writing something. If you have to post that emoji to signal that what you're saying is funny, it's not funny. Also, nobody who's truly hilarious uses that emoji. The only people that use the crying laughing emoji that I've seen are trolls, open micers, and older relatives. That's it. So don't be one of them. Don't be a troll or an open micer. Or don't be an uncle. Don't be a stereotypical uncle whose, you know, racism he thinks is hilarious. I don't know. I'm somebody's uncle. But that's beside the point. What I'm saying is knock that shit off. I'm already unfollowing enough people. Please don't add yourself to that list because you think your joke needs, you know, emoticons or whatever the fuck, emoji. So, something to bring up is that one of the biggest issues for me in my sobriety has always been this issue, and it doesn't have to do with temptation. Doesn't have to do with the desire, like, oh, do you miss the alcohol? Do you miss the drugs? You know, you're thinking, do you crave that drug? And I don't. I don't crave the substance specifically. That's not something that I deal with anymore. What I've always dealt with, the reason that I started doing shit in the first place, basically the reason I've made any decision ever, good or bad, most of the bad ones, is because I was bored. That's always my motivator for doing something rash or doing something self-destructive or doing something that alters my perception or whatever else. Wanting to get high. It's all because I was bored. And that's what we're going to be dealing with a lot. And that's the thing, is that boredom is a killer. It really is. It's a great like it's a great motivator to relapse, is being bored. When you just can't sit still anymore and you just, you know, I got to do something. And you, and if it hasn't hit you already, and it probably has, if you're somebody in recovery and you're dealing with sobriety, maintaining your sobriety, you've probably already hit it. It's already like, you know, I'm home alone. You know, if you live alone and you're not sharing a space with somebody, it's really easy. It's like nobody, you know, is watching what I'm doing. I can go score or go to the store or whatever, come back and get fucked up here. No one will know. And it's really easy to sit there and think about that, because in your mind is like, yeah, I mean, I could fuck up, but I'll be home. Nothing can happen here, right? Well, if you're not a control person now, because you have an addiction issue, you can always make too much noise and the cops can show up. You can always cause a disturbance. If you're like me, that's the whole thing. There's no guarantee. What am I going to stay inside and be quiet? Really, I'm going to get wasted and stay quiet? Come on. So make sure, you know, that's the big thing right now is realizing, really being aware of how much boredom is a killer and will make you make rash decisions just because you can't sit there anymore. So, you know, there's all sorts of suggestions online. All you have to do is Google on what to do to keep yourself occupied. Other than what's already obvious, there's plenty of resources online, educational resources. You can definitely, there's lots of shit you can learn, but nobody really wants to learn. Nobody wants to read. Really, you're like, oh man, I need something. Oh, why don't you read a book? No. I need something to do other than read a book. But you're going to have to find something and figure out a way to exercise. I know they close gyms, but you got to figure something out. You know, push-ups don't require, and running don't require equipment. You can figure that out. There's once again, use Google and look online. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, oh, let me come up with some resources and some things to do to keep yourself occupied during a quarantine. But I was like, how many fucking lists are there? They're on there. People have already, you know, they've been bored, so they decided to write articles on what to do when you're not bored. Number one, write an article and try to submit it to an online publication for money. Good luck with that. You're going to be standing in line with other people who've written their articles. I'm sure there's plenty on Medium what to do with your time. But I would plan ahead, like really figure out bring an old hobby back, figure something out. Find something to tap your creative energy into. Do something, because because think about it. If you're like, oh no, willpower will keep me. Really? Is that how you ended up needing to be sober in the first place? That willpower? Nah. Let's not rely on the willpower. Let's have a plan. Should always have a plan. Also, take a break from the news, will ya? It's at some point you got to quit reading about COVID-19. You got to like realize that it's a waiting game and the important news will get through. You know, scientist doesn't say some shit that's on the news, it you're just obsessing about it and you're just fucking yourself up more. So there's that. In addition to boredom, with everyone isolating, I really think there's going to be a really big issue with loneliness, and we need to remember to talk to people that we care about and our family members. And actually, you know, when we get contacted by people, if you get messages from people that you think is kind of odd, you're like, yeah, what are they contacting me for? They don't really have anything to say. They might be lonely. We need to take the time to actually reply back and talk to them and not dismiss them. Because really, don't you have the time now? I'm sure you do. Come on. Are you really that, is it really that busy as you telecommute, as you work from home? Are you, no, I got a ton of things to do. Do you though? Come on. You know, I don't know. Try to keep your, maintain some connections. It's going to be really easy to isolate and not communicate with other people. So it's loneliness is just not, it's got to be amplified by everything that's going on. So we need to, you know, be there for each other emotionally, because we're not going to be financially, everybody's kind of hurting. We'll see what happens with that, but at least we can all be connected emotionally and as human beings, theoretically. You know, a lot of people are assholes. Nothing you can do about that. I can tell you this. Side note, just in the, you know, I have no idea what my profession, how comedy is going to be. You know, with such a taking a break, I mean, you know, it'll come back, but it's amazing to watch the people who are complaining the most about there not being open mic, not a show. An open mic. But the people complaining the most about those mics canceling. Just, oh, come on. You know, don't be such a pussy. Like the people that are complaining that much are the most unfunny motherfuckers. That, I mean, rightfully so, in a way, you're like, okay, I can see why you would want there to be a mic, because you have a fuck ton to work on. You unfunny, no joke, having piece of shit. Because they're just rude. They're all just like, oh, you're being such a pussy and you suck and all this other stuff. And it's like, eh. I get it. You need to practice. But also, the loudest people are the most horribly untalented people that have no business trying comedy. So it's like, maybe you should take this time to find something else that you might actually be good at. Like, if you can't understand, if you can't get past your selfishness and, you know, the, hey, everybody look at me time for 3 minutes that you get from going to a terrible open mic, and that's the only bright part of your week, and you're not good at it, maybe this would be a nice time to find something else that you could excel in. Needlepoint, for example. Breaking the record for holding your breath. Try that. Or, you know, maybe you're really good at playing the quiet game. I wished. It's just terrible. But besides them, human connection is good. Not with those people, but with everybody else. I'm sorry. It's just the absurdity of, like, guys, we all got to be together and, you know, human nature and watch out for each other and make a connection. You know who sucks? These open micers won't shut the fuck up about things canceling. Those people suck. Anyway, humankind, we come together. I realize, I get it. It's, but for real, those people need to not do comedy ever again. They're basically a plague. But look out for each other. That's what's really important. Be there for the people that you actually care about. And, you know, the good in us will hopefully shine through. I'm going to leave it there for this week. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week, and hang in there. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin. Later. Let's ride.